Well, we want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church here in Powder Springs, and it's so good to see you, and hope you're glad to see us. And nonetheless, it's been just a a beautiful morning on the outside with the sun shining on our way to church and all, and we're just looking forward to the other sun to shine on the inside of the church this morning, the S-O-N. And I hope he's been shining in your hearts this past week, and has been shining in our heart, and have just a good time of really just communing with the Lord in his word and through prayer. And, you know, it's really amazing when you stand back and you look back on each and every week that we go through and all the particulars in each and every day. It's amazing to see how God really protects, he provides, not just in the big things, the little things. I mean, the Lord, he really is a present Lord. And so this morning, I just want to say thank you to the Lord for not just the big and mighty things, but those little things during the course of the week, such as having a headache and then, you know, taking something for it and it going away, or not even having nothing for it and it going away, you know, making it through that green light before it turns yellow and red to get to your appointment and keep you safe in your travels, you know, all those crazy things. You know, praise the Lord this morning. And I honestly feel if we maintain a perspective on God concerning not just the big things, but the little things, if we really listen this morning, we can hear him speak this morning. So that's my prayer, is that the Lord would speak to us, that we would listen to him. And at invitation time, if you need to come and pray, you come and pray. But we want to do something this morning that we've been doing pretty regularly the past, I don't know, at least two or three Sundays. And you know yourself personally that our prayer list, it seems like we get someone off the prayer list and they're immediately replaced or just added on while we have others on there. But I do want to have another special time of prayer this morning. We have a few things to mention. Number one, I spoke with Brother Jim Jr. yesterday, and Brother Jim Daly, he has a procedure in the morning, and this procedure, I'm not really sure how far in detail he wants me to get. We'll keep it kind of generic. But he's going to be under anesthesia for 4 to 6 hours. Jim Daly is. And those of you that know him personally or do not, he has severe breathing problems. In so much, I think that it's like super, super low. Miss Dawn is concerned about this. Jim Jr. is concerned about this. And I'm concerned about it. I know you are as well. And we really need to pray for him this morning. And this will be tomorrow. Tomorrow morning around 9 o'clock, he's going to have this procedure. And I believe this procedure is supposed to take the place. My goodness, what is that? What's that medication that makes you breathe better? What was that? Yes, prednisone. You know you can't live on that your whole life or the rest of your life. Prednisone, you can't do that. It's only supposed to be for a short amount of time. And so this is supposed to work so he don't have to take that anymore and his breathing can maintain getting better. Let's pray for Brother Jim this morning. Also, Miss Sharon contacted me the other day. Sharon and Jeff Hodges, and we've mentioned their son-in-law, Chris, for a while now, dealing with his cancer he has in his esophagus, I believe it is. Well, last week they got the phone call that he actually has a tumor in his brain, and he has to go into immediate surgery this coming Friday. And so we need to have special prayer for Chris this morning. This is a burden on the heart of Jeff and Sharon, and so it's a burden on our heart, and so we're going to pray for them as well this morning. Excuse me. Rusty and Chris Watkins, both have been battling the COVID this past week. Brother Rusty's actually been in the hospital. Many of you know that has received updates on Facebook and our church page. But he's been in Cobb. I believe at some point or at one point he had pneumonia and really was looking, wasn't looking that good for him with all those things piling up on him. And so he's supposed to go home tomorrow, I believe it is, thereabouts. So we praise the Lord for that, but yet Chris still has it as well, the COVID, and so we need to just pray for them this morning. And, of course, I want to lift up Randy Bailey. This is a Randy, and this is the brother-in-law of Brother Snyder, and he's married to Janet. And, of course, he has the multiple myeloma cancer. This is a cancer in the blood, but also he has COVID on top of that. And so low immunity, all those things going against him. Need to pray for him. Leonard Palmer is working his way toward his surgery, his eye surgery. That cancerous tumor he has behind his eye. Tomorrow he goes to the lung doctor to try to eliminate things off the list, getting close to that. So special prayer for them. Ceylon and Catherine. Catherine's mother, but Ceylon's boss has cancer, and I believe he started, was it chemo? He started chemo this past week, and so I'd like to have prayer for him. And then the Teagues found out that Brother Larry had surgery a couple weeks ago. I know that Miss Connie was sick this time last week, and her brother Bill. We have a full list this morning. That's just a few to highlight as far as upcoming doctor's appointments, situations that are very important. They're all important. But let's pray this morning and just take a time to pray. But as we pray, of course, we are adding to them everybody on the list in our hearts when we pray. But if you'd like to come forward, we're not going to rush this. We never do. If you'd like to come forward and pray in the altar, you can, or you can keep your place there in the pew. But at this time, we're going to have a short time of prayer. So let us pray this morning.
pastor a few moments ago, I caught a phrase that he said. He said that he is a present Lord. Amen. We celebrated that last Sunday, and what a tremendous job the choir did. I'm very thankful, and I know that you are as well, as we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. But this morning, we've come here to do the very same thing. We want to praise Him. We want to lift Him up because He's worthy of our praise. I'm glad to know that the Word says that He is an ever-present help in a time of need. Now, you just heard a long list of needs, and there are many more on that list as I glanced at the page this morning. But I'm so thankful this morning to be able to be in His house. Aren't you? Amen? Thank you, church. And more than anything else, what I am thankful for, Brother Chuck, was a day that the Lord washed me in His precious blood. He washed away all of my sins. Brother Johnny, I've been born into the family of God. No one can pluck me out of the Father's hand. Aren't you thankful for that? I tell you what, church, I know we want to practice our social distancing this morning, but I am going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to sing a song that we haven't done in over a year now, but it's still a happy day when the Lord washed away all of my sins. Stand with us. You know the song. Clap your hands. Sing along. Whatever you want to do to worship. Here we go.
Was my sin.
wash my sins away. Oh, happy day. It was a happy day.
My breath, that I am so thankful that God washed my sins away as a 16-year-old girl, and I don't ever want to not take the chance to thank him for that and to thank him for what he's done in my life. And I'm so thankful that he saved me, and I'm so thankful that through the things that I go through that I have someone, an eye to look to, the eye of my storm. I'm so thankful that when things get crazy and shaky that I have someone to call upon. And I've said this, even said it a few weeks ago, that even when I don't have the words to say, he still understands my heart and my tears, and he's always there.
Understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there, someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their names, and tenderly he said, "It is I."
a time of prayer together in length just a moment ago. But if the Lord moves upon your heart and you feel like coming down to these altars and praying and just releasing everything you have on the inside, you do that. Doesn't matter if we've prayed already. Just want you to know, remind you that there's liberty this morning to worship Him. You pray for Brother Deacon.
The Master was nigh, and He spoke the words. The winds all stood still, even the waters obeyed His will. And He calmed their storms, just like He will mine. If I just remember that He loves me deep inside, so why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, He stays always near. He lives in my heart, and He hears me when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. With Him, brought light in their darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have His steps leading mine, and to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come and death seems so nigh, call on the Master, He'll be there on time. And when sickness comes and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on His name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? The very same Jesus, He stays always near. He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, He stays always near. He lives in my heart, and He hears me when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. He lives in my heart, and He hears each time I cry. And I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. Should I worry? Why should I fear? The very same Jesus, He stays always near. He lives in my heart. He hears each time I cry. Call on His name till the storm passes
storm passes by.
Brother Justin, can I say something?
Please.
At the beginning earlier in the service, you read a very significant list of very serious storms that people close and precious to us. And I know from my lived in my time that it was purposely, and I know I just happen to know of other people. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Miss Darlene, for that testimony. It's the Lord's service this morning. I believe He spoke for Himself. I don't even have to say that. We know who's in control this morning. We're not going to have a big delayment, but if anybody does have something they want to say, that your heart's beating and your mind's racing, if that's you this morning, let something be said. A joy and an honor. Thank you for that, Brother David. Anybody else?
not to even mention the funeral service for Brother Ben Tidwell. His father, Joe, was this past week. So remember the Tidwells as well. If no one else, we want to be in the book of Psalms this morning. Psalm 138. Psalms 138. I cannot stand this pollen. I'm telling you. Not only the pollen, but I'm wearing three layers of clothes. You know, every time I put a suit on. And then I put a tight tie around my neck to finish the job. But just pray this morning that we would be sensitive to the Lord, and with the time that is remaining this morning, we want to be a help, want to be a blessing, and I believe the church was already helped and already blessed this morning, but there may be someone that's here or somebody watching on Facebook that has not totally released your dilemma, what you're going through, and I'm not being insensitive to that, because I know the struggle of release. It's a very real thing. I understand that. And but I guess the reason why I said that, and probably will say it again through the message, is that God is wanting you, wanting to help you have some peace today. And so that's my prayer. Psalm 138, and I want to read three verses, verse number 6, 7, and 8. 6 through 8, and then we'll introduce the subject this morning. Let's bow for a quick word of prayer, and then I'm going to read from verse number 6. Father, we take a time out once more to say thank you. Lord, we've already been revived, I have, in spirit. Lord, thank you for coming this way this morning as we say and we use terms and terminology. Lord, we know you live in our hearts, but Lord, your manifestation this morning, your manifested presence, the peace, the closeness, thank you for that. I pray in the next few moments that I would not be in the way, but I would follow your leadership through the scriptures, these three verses. And I pray that someone would be helped with their release today of their burden. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 138, notice verse number 6, if you would. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. Praise the Lord for that this morning. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Praise the Lord twice. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord, listen, church, to this. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. That's finishing chapter number 138, book of Psalms. And let me just say, by a brief introduction of this chapter, of course, we know that this is a psalm of David here. But it's David speaking about the Lord's personal involvement in his own life. All kinds of things allude to that truth in this chapter this morning. I like verse number 1 where he says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. It's kind of hard at times, and I guess we learn through time how to praise the Lord whether we feel like it or not. But David says that I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And he goes on and he says, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Verse 2, he mentions worship. Verse number 3, he begins to unpack and unravel his trouble. Look in verse number 3. He says, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. He's speaking about, when he says soul, he's speaking about the seat of his emotions. David evidently was so tore apart emotionally. I don't have to say it this morning. You know and I know emotions play a huge role in our day-to-day living. And when things are good, then we're emotionally high. We're having a good time. But then when things are bad and things are challenging, our emotions, if we're not careful, they can unravel, and they can even unravel on those we love. We see that David was an emotional man here. But he says that the Lord strengthened my soul. He put strength in my soul. And that's what we need today. Because to be quite honest with you, I don't know when your trial is going to end. I don't know when your case is going to turn in the direction you feel it should go. I don't know. But in the process and the meanwhile, we need mental strength, don't we? We need to be able to do what Peter says and gird up the loins of our mind. We need to have strong minds this morning. And you're looking at somebody that really started out with a very weak mind. And God has gently and graciously and purposefully taken me through obstacles to strengthen my own mind and not to, go after life only when emotions are there. Because most of the time, those feel-good emotions are not always there, but we still have to work, don't we? We still have to parent. We still have to assume our responsibilities. So I praise the Lord for strengthening the mind. But notice the next verse here. In verse 4, he says, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. And then our verses. And so David is like, he's moving toward a direction of speaking about the Lord's personal involvement. He's already talked about how God has strengthened his mind. And he's talked about that how that he can praise the Lord with a whole heart, although circumstances don't have to be great. And this morning I want to mention these three verses, 6, 7, and 8, in a different kind of light. I believe, and this is just my personal belief when I study these verses, that these verses can give us a picture of God's personal involvement. A picture of God's personal involvement. And that's what I want to talk about this morning for a few moments. Pictures of God's personal involvement. And this morning, let me say one more time, he is aware of your situation. He is present. He is for you. He is with you. And the Lord will strengthen you. And evidently, he just wanted us all to be reminded that he is personally not only involved, but he is personally invested if you belong to him, because you have his Holy Spirit. In verse number 6, I want you to notice the first picture of God's personal involvement. We see that we have a picture of a long-distance relationship. Look at verse number 6 again. He says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. Now, when he says the Lord be high, he said God's in heaven. He is there. He is way up there. And I'm way down here. And he says that this is a long distance relationship. We're not going to get into relationships and old flames this morning. But I don't know if you've ever had a long distance relationship. Or if you're like me growing up, we were with mom and dad for a while, but then there was a time where I lived with my grandparents, and mom and dad lived in Mississippi. And we had this long distance parent-child relationship. And I want to say that's hard. It is hard to have a healthy, long distance relationship. We could pick up the phone and we could talk to one another, but that's it. That's all we could do. Mom and dad, they didn't know, they couldn't see and look into my personal days or my life and all my personal involvements. They didn't know that. They didn't have all knowledge. They couldn't, you know, just look out the window and see what's going on in my life. But in this verse, we see that David is saying that God is way up there. But notice what he says. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. The word respect here, it means to see. So right here, right now, immediately, this verse tells us that there is a long distance relationship that's being nourished. Like mom and dad and me, they could pick up the phone, I could pick up the phone, and we can talk and communicate, but they couldn't see me. They didn't know in detail what I was going through. They didn't see my secret tears as a young teenager having dropped out of high school and being on drugs and alcohol. They couldn't see that. And that was one of the strains of our long-distance relationship. But I want to say this morning, if you are a child of God, we have a long-distance relationship that's being faithfully nourished, not necessarily by us, but by Him. He's the one that can look down from heaven and He can, the Bible says He has respect unto the lowly. He can see us in those secret tears. This morning I want to say that He can see you when you're on the job and you don't want to be. He can see you this morning as you leave church and you're feeling good for a chance, and then you go home and then there's the resurfacing of that burden. And you begin to weep and you say within yourself, not even to your family audibly, but you say, I don't want to go on anymore. There is no way out of this. I don't even want to go through it. But you see, there's a blessing when it comes to relationships between a child of God and their heavenly Father. And that is, we have a long distance relationship that is being nourished by Him. Though the Lord be high, yet, this is what differentiates long distance relationships with God as opposed to man. Yet hath he respect. Again, the word respect means to see, but listen to this. It also means to discern. It means to see, it means to discern. Look over in Psalm 139, just the next chapter. Look in verse number 11. David again speaking, he says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. Listen, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. This morning, church, we can't see the way. We're not sure of tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow because He can see tomorrow. And David, he is speaking in these couple chapters about God's personal involvement. And I just want to say this morning that He is personally involved in your life. He has respect, the Bible says, unto the lowly. The lowly. That means the depressed, the base, those who have been humbled, those whose securities have been taken away, those who are for the first time having to live by the faith that they have in God. God says, I have an eye on you. To say that real faith has a way of moving us along. Although it's painful, although we feel like we're being stripped from every security we have because of these trials and situations in life, there's one thing about it. Come what may, Jesus knows my way. Job even said time and time again, though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust Him. This is a gruesome, agonizing process. But church, at the end of the day, what are you going to do? You have your situation that's killing you. But then you have a whole lot of promises from God the Father to His children that He purchased with His own blood through His Son. And you have to come to the place in your life where you look at your situation and it seems vague, it seems over, it seems like there's no hope, but yet the Bible says He will carry me through. The Bible says He is with me. The Bible says I will have peace in the valley. So you got to decide what you're going to do this morning. Are you going to live every day a defeated child of God? I preached a message a long time ago, actually. I actually have a long time ago I can refer to now because we've been in the ministry a little while. But talking about over, I believe it's in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. I ain't going to run this rabbit too long, but David camped out in enemy territory with the Philistines on the run from Saul. And we have a king living as a pauper. He was living as a fugitive, living under his circumstances. And here it is again, David, but he is saying that God has an eye on me. And this morning, I just want to relay that message. Though we've not seen Him, our Savior, face to face yet, we have a long distance relationship, but there's one thing about it. He is totally nourishing that relationship in our lives. We can't see Him only through the eyes of faith, but He can see us. He has respect unto us. He sees us. He's discerning of our situation. And again, as Psalm 139 said in verse 11 and 12, it may be dark to us, but it's not dark to Him. Darkness and light are the same to our Lord. Let me mention a second thing. Not only there's the picture of a long-distance relationship being nourished in verse number 6. But verse number 7 gives us a different picture. I believe it gives us a picture of a professional at work. Notice what he says. Verse 7. Though I walk, he is currently walking, in the midst of trouble. He's not saying that I'm through it. You know, he's not saying anything other than, although I'm going through what I'm going through, although I am in the midst of a tight place, that word trouble actually means tightness. And I believe it goes without saying that whenever we have anxiety, and there may be a lot of it, it's potential for a stroke or heart attack. You can get tightness in your chest. It affects your breathing. And I'm convinced that although we come into church and we smile and you know, and we're supposed to, I'm convinced that there, in every service, there's somebody who is stressing over life, somebody who walked in the doors with tightness in their chest, and the Lord is wanting to help you this morning. But I said this gives a picture, in my personal opinion, of a professional at work, and this is why. He uses the word revive here. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, though I'm in tightness, a tight place, though there's anguish, trouble, thou wilt revive me. And the word revive. The word revive means to repair. It means to restore. Revive means revival. Revive means to nourish up. I was thinking about this. And definitely not being insensitive this morning on people on life support. probably, I don't know, a quarter of everybody here, you know, has known somebody here recently that's been on life support or ventilator. But if you go into the ICU and you look, and I have been there several times in my ministry years, people are on that ventilator, they're on life support, they're being kept alive. They're not that lively, though. One particular occasion at Cobb General, I don't know, been 5-6 years ago, went to visit a man at a previous church, and I walked in there, and it was just the most depressing, you know, scene ever. He was laying there, propped up in the bed, eyes were closed, and that ventilator was just, I'm not being funny. I mean, one step away from death. That ventilator just, and I asked the doctor, I said, is he okay? They said, yeah, he's being kept alive. I said, does he know what's going on? They said, we don't know yet. We're still looking for brain activity. So a ventilator, those in ICU, they are being kept alive. But the word revive actually means to repair, not to just be kept alive, but to be lively. And so in contrast, someone in ICU being kept alive, there's no response, there's no nothing. They're just laying there suspended between earth and heaven, wherever they may go. But someone who is alive and lively, while they can talk and they can interact and they have expressions on their face and they have personality and things like that. And David says here, though I walk in the midst of trouble, though there's tightness and anguish because of my situation, thou will revive me. You will repair me. You will restore me. You will nourish me up. Let me say this before I say something else. In the Bible, specifically a couple places in the Old Testament, God chose different ways to revive people. Now, in principle, he will revive us. But in particular situations, he may do things different for different people. And by example, I say this. Remember when Elijah was on top of Mount Carmel? Man, he was full of God, boldness, and called down fire from heaven. And then he was on the run from Jezebel. And you know the story. He ran till he couldn't run no more. He was in fear of his life, crawled up under that juniper tree, and wished to die. And then an angel came and made him a cake. And what happened when he ate that meal? He was revived. There was a type of revivement. And we know that the completion of that story is that he was listening for the Lord and, you know, the thunder and the mountains and all that kind of laugh. He was listening. Elijah was looking for God in all the big things, the big flashy things. But, you know, sometimes God can revive us just by someone sending you a card in the mail. I mean, it's a very personal thing. I'm sure everybody in here could give a testimony, and I'm not that quick anymore to critique anybody's testimony on how God revived you. The principle is he restores his people, but he does it in a very personal and particular way. For Elijah, he needed some angel cake. And for you and I, it may be a card in the mail. It definitely calls for a call to the altar and prayer, first and foremost, and reading our Bibles and claiming God's word. Say, yes, that's for me. Obedience to him. But God, sometimes he very personally revives us, repairs us. Back to that hospital room. One patient that's on the ventilator may need medication for several days while in ICU. And then the next step may be slowly bringing them out of that sedated state or taking them off the ventilator. That's specific for their revival. There may be another individual in the ICU who, unless there's a divine intervention, will pass away. They may need to immediately go into surgery, depending on their case and their situation. And so you could see that, at least in a professional standpoint, and in practice in medicine and doctors, it is a very personal, particular thing when it comes to revival. It's a little different for Christians, we know. It all must be surrounded by God's word and obedience and selling out to Him. But I do want to say this. David said that he would revive him. He said he would repair him. Notice something else in verse 7. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me or repair me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The second part to this picture of a professional work, at least in verse number 7, talking about this revival aspect, I want you to notice the two words, stretch forth, or he's given reference to the hand of God. He says, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. What is he talking about here? Well, the word stretch forth, or that idea of God stretching forth his hand, his right hand, shows a sign of power, but it also means to send away. It means to send away. David's saying that God would repair him, and coupled to his being repaired has to do with God, number one, sending away the enemies, and in return, this would save him. See, he says, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand. Thou shalt, in other words, thou, when you stretch forth your hand, it's going to send the enemies away, and thy right hand shall save me. This morning, I was thinking about this. God will do two things when it comes to enemies in our life and the saving of ourself. And number one, he will smack. Number two, he'll save. And probably we shouldn't rejoice in God smacking our enemies. But God has a way of smacking the devil off your back. And God has a way through that of saving us in our mental state. And the very courage and the confidence that we possess. David says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, he says, I am here. He says, you will restore me. He says, you will stretch forth your hand. You stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. So I label number two a picture of a professional at work, because I think about mechanics and repairing cars. I think about doctors repairing patients. And anything that you do that has to do with repairing, there's a certain skill set that comes with that, that only that person knows how to do. And today you may be in the midst of your tight place. You may have that anguish in your soul, but God has a way of reviving us. I'm not sure how he'll do it for you. I do know it will come primarily through his word and through prayer, but I don't know what he may use to revive you. Again, it could be a card, it can be a kind word, it could just be I love you. And God has a way of getting the enemies off our back at the same time. Number three, and I'm done. We see a picture of a professional at work, a picture of a long-distance relationship nourished. And then in verse number 8, we see a picture of a father that loves. Again, let's keep in mind that David spends this whole chapter talking about God's personal involvement. And in verse 6, he says, it's God's up here, up there, and we're down here. Verse 7, he says that he will revive us, repair us. And then in verse number 8, notice what he says. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. I said this gives a picture of a father that loves because a few things. The word perfect here means complete. The Lord will complete that which concerneth me. And as I looked at that word concerneth, I kind of thought of it this way. Anything that pertains to you and I as an individual, that God will complete the things that have to do with us. Things that we know about or not, God will complete that which concerneth me. We may have concerns of our own. There may be things that only God can see that He takes care of. All across the board, He will complete that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. But listen to this. He says, forsake not the works of thine own hands. The works of thine own hands. Word works here, it means actions. It means actions. The word hands gives the indication of power and direction. David is saying here that Lord, I am the work of your own hands. You have, through your hands, you have showed your power, Lord. Through your hands, from the time I met you till now, you have directed me. David's saying that God has been a father to me all the way from the shepherd's field and then killing Goliath and all the other battles. David's saying that, Lord, don't forsake what you've created. Lord, the personal involvement and investment. Lord, you've kept me safe. You've kept me confident, Lord. You have been there for me, Lord. It's coming down to the nitty-gritty now. Let us finish, Lord. David says, I want to finish. There's some concerns in my life, but Lord, I'm confident that you will, if I just allow you to, God, you will complete that which concerns me. Anything that has to do with my life, Lord, you are aware of, and you are in charge of. And so he says, middle ways down, O Lord, endureth forever, forsake not the works of thine own hands. Again, hands, he's talking about power and direction. He's talking about the works from the very beginning till now. Again, David is talking about God's personal involvement. And I just feel this morning, this gives a picture of a father's love. Of that parent who is there for their child. They were involved in the beginning. All the miles and all the expenses and all the ups and all the downs. David says, God, you're my dad. You're my father. Everything we've been through, all the times you've helped me, Lord. God, I want to finish. See me through. And this morning, I can't help to think about my relationship with Lily. You know, ever since day one, been there. I was the first one to hold her. I was the first one she seen. God help her. And who knows? By the time I get to be a senior, she may be holding me. Who knows? Was there through the thick, through the thin. We're in teenage years now. Dealing with that. Being patient. Trying to be understanding. Trying to be a help and a parent at the same time. And then we get down the road. There's college. And a lot of people think that once the kids get out of the house, they're not responsible or have no part in their life anymore. You know, as an adult, as a parent, as a father. Brother Berman said one time, we were in the foyer talking at Floyd Road. He said, we're talking about kids and all. He said, son, he said, you're going to be the father of Lily until your toes turn up. I said, what in the world is he talking about? He's talking about laying on a gurney. Graveyard dead, you will be her parent. And this morning, I'm glad to be her parent. It's an honor to be able. And David says, God, you're my parent. You will perfect. You'll complete the things that concern me. You started me out in the right place. I want to finish right. Don't forsake me. Maybe David was speaking emotionally here, but he's just giving reference to all the amazing working powers in the times of direction that God has had in his life. This morning, we have a picture of a father that loves. We have a picture of a professional at work repairing, restoring. And who knows, he may be even trying to repair you through a kind word somebody's given you lately. But you've just been resentful for whatever reason. Maybe someone has reached out to you and said, "You are loved." I wouldn't shun that too often. It may be God's hands and feet trying to help you. But then again, we see that the Lord knows how to maintain a long-distance relationship. Whatever the case is this morning, as we stand to our feet, I know it's getting late, and I probably shouldn't have said that because now you're going to be aware of it. But invitation's given. You need to pray, you pray. You come and pray.
Search me, oh God.
Those on Facebook, this is your opportunity. Anybody this morning?
Try me, oh Savior, know my heart.
Come on down and cast that care on the Lord. He will repair you. He will continue to be your father to the end, which will be the beginning. Sing one more verse. If you need to come, you come. He won't forsake you. You're the work of his hands. Just believe that. God's word declares. Enough singing this morning, this afternoon, and thank you for being so attentive, and we hope you were blessed this morning, and you know, literally, I could have went home after the singing and, you know, felt just as full as I am now, as I feel now. So we thank the Lord for what he does and how he does it, and as far as the service tonight, again, no official reopening announcement right now, but if you'd like to come, you can come and be part of the service tonight. We're just in a slow rebuilding stage, and you know, we're just going to have to baby step through and see what works, what don't work, but we'll be here tonight, and if you want to come tonight, then we want you to come, and so you come and be part of the service. It'll be 6 o'clock, and just know this, isn't to put any pressure on, you know, anybody, and as far as, you know, songs and things like that, you know, if you have a position here, none of that, no pressure. If you want to be in God's house tonight and not on Facebook, you can come be here. No pressure, you know, nothing like that. If you want to come and worship, meet us here at 6. All right. Anything else? Offering. Brother Don's in the back. Remember the offering. Tithes and offerings, a great time for that. And just remember these on our prayer list. All right. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer. And everybody have a great afternoon. David Henderson, would you do something?